Today is the first Sunday after Easter, also called Low Sunday, and these are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today. There is no benediction this evening. We would like to express our thanks to everyone who donated towards the Easter lilies. Wednesday, April 14th, is Father Ward's 48th ordination anniversary, and there will be a low Mass at 8:30 a.m. Confessions will resume being heard next Saturday and Sunday at the usual times before and after Mass. You can see the announcements posted in the vestibule or on our website for details. So just to recap, there will be blessing of articles after Mass today. No benediction this evening. We'd like to thank you again for the Easter lilies. Father Ward's anniversary is this Wednesday, and there will be an 8:30 a.m. low Mass. And confessions will be resumed on Saturday and Sunday at the usual times before and after Mass. The feasts this week, today, Sunday, April 11th, is the feast of St. Leo the Great. He was the Pope immediately before the Roman Empire in the West fell. And he famously saved Rome from being sacked by Attila the Hun. If you don't know that story, you should read about that. It's also the feast today of St. Gemma Galgani. Tuesday, April 13th, is the feast of St. Hermenegild, another great saint for our time. He was the son of the king of the Visigoths, and he lived in a time when heresy was ravaging the church, the Arian heresy. Historians say that close to 80% of the bishops at the time were heretics, holding on to the Arian heresy. And his father was converted to Arianism and wanted to force his son, St. Hermenegild, to capitulate and receive the sacraments from this heretical Arian bishop. And St. Hermenegild refused, and his own father put him to death. Amazing story. Wednesday, April 14th, St. Justin Martyr, one of the earliest sources, written sources that we still have his records in the Catholic Church. Friday, April 16th, St. Benedict Joseph Labouré. Saturday, April 17th, St. Anacletus. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the first epistle of St. John. Beloved, all that is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is there that overcomes the world if not he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came in water and in blood, Jesus Christ, not in water only, but in water and in blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness that Christ is the truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, which is greater, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the testimony of God in himself. Please stand for the Gospel. The Gospel for today's Mass is taken from St. John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. At that time, when it was late that same day, the first day of the week, though the doors were shut and the disciples were gathered together for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples therefore rejoiced at the sight of the Lord. He therefore said to them again, "Peace be to you. As my Father has sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, and whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, I put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after the eighth day, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being closed, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Bring here thy finger and see my hands, and bring here thy hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." Many other signs also Jesus worked in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So we've completed the octave of the most holy feast of the year, Easter Sunday. And throughout this entire octave, we're being reminded of this great gift of the sacrament of baptism. Over the last 3 weeks, the priest and myself here have baptized 5 people. 2 in particular at the Easter Vigil ceremony, for those of you who are able to see that. And seeing this baptism in the context of the Easter Vigil ceremony truly vivifies the whole liturgical time that we're living through right now, because it's as if it brings us back to that primitive church at which time every catechumen was baptized at the Easter ceremony. All the texts of the Gospels throughout this week and some of the weeks to follow are all brought to life because we see it lived out in these new neophytes, new members of the church. This Sunday, called Low Sunday, in juxtaposition to the great solemnity of Easter, but it also has another name, Dominica Post Albas Depositas, meaning at this time, yesterday in fact, was the day in which those baptized during Easter, for those of you who saw the ceremony or have seen a baptism in general, you see that they put on the white shawl. Never let this be stained, right? In the early days of the church, they wore white vestments throughout the entire octave of Easter. It was on Saturday that they put these aside. This is where the Sunday gets its name. So this Sunday was the first day in which these neophytes, these new infants in the faith, were incorporated with the rest of the faithful without any distinction. Just another member in that mystical body, unified. They don't stand out at all. And this taught the neophytes at that time that this is where the value came from, the value in their life, the value and the faith that they practice is that incorporation with Christ in the mystical body, all the members with Christ as their head, as St. Paul talks about. The only value they had is being grafted onto Christ, becoming one with him. We see that unity of the mystical body displayed in the Easter Vigil ceremony. Even though it's late at night every year, you can feel the exuberance with which all the faithful recite those promises, the neophytes reciting them for the first time. All united, one, renouncing the devil and his pomps and works, the world, declaring our fidelity to Christ. This is the day they would step down from that pedestal we put them on to honor this great gift that they received, and now they join the ranks of the church militant. So throughout this whole week, we read about Philip baptizing the servant of the queen of Ethiopia, the eunuch who served her. He baptizes him, brings him into the faith. We read about, at the behest of our Lord, St. Peter casting the net outside the boat, pulling in a great number of fishes from the water, laying them at the feet of our Lord on the shore, another symbol of baptism. These souls being saved by the waters of baptism. We also read a couple days ago, St. Peter speaks about the flood of Noah, how that water washed away the sin of the world and preserved the just. Once again, a reference to baptism. And then yesterday, we hear St. Peter speak about that living cornerstone of the church, which is Christ. And we all are stones with him making up the church. You've heard the other priests or Father Superior speak about the symbolism of these stones that make up the church. Each one of us is represented there. All these symbols are telling them about this gift of baptism. But now we're entering this second phase of the Paschal season. Just a reminder on how the liturgy works. If we ever want to draw more fruit from our meditations on the liturgy, we can always think, what was happening to Christ at this time? What was he doing? What was he teaching us? And at this time, as is represented by the Paschal candle here, our Lord had risen from the dead, and he was with us for 40 days, teaching his disciples, preparing them for their mission. On Ascension Thursday, we extinguish the candle and it is removed after the gospel of that day, because Christ is now ascended. And then we await Pentecost. And so this is why the church at this time brings forward a very specific teaching for us on the virtue of faith. That's the theme of this Mass, brought up by St. John. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. We see the faith of Thomas, St. Thomas, displayed in the gospel. The reason is brought in front of the neophytes and the rest of us practicing Catholics is because it's so fundamental. It's a foundational virtue for our entire spiritual life. Without it, we have no hope of growing in the spiritual life. What a strong foundation in that virtue of faith. Taking you back to the Catechism, what is faith? It's one of the theological virtues. Theological because it has God as its goal and God as its source. So we cannot develop the virtue of faith by our own power. It has to be infused in us, infused at the time of baptism. Given to us by God, we cannot force it. I remember years ago, I was speaking to a friend of mine, and we were speaking about the Catholic Church, and she was very logical type. And I was just bringing up the arguments for the Catholic Church, you know, the four marks of the Church and so on. I was explaining these to her, and she would come up with a rebuttal, and then I'd say, this is what the Church says on it and so on. And she became frustrated at a certain point. I was becoming frustrated too. And she said, in her own words, a perfect explanation of this difference between infused virtues and those virtues which we can acquire. She said, I believe it. I believe in the Catholic Church. I believe it here. I don't believe it here. I thought, that's right. You can't make yourself believe it here. So obviously the only way you can receive that gift is by asking for it, by praying for it. And this infused gift of faith is that virtue by which we are united with the Logos, with God, with true wisdom. That is this virtue of faith. As man, we can have experimental knowledge by our senses. This is what St. Thomas demanded. I want to touch the wounds. We can have that rational knowledge by which we can reach out to those things that are slightly beyond the senses. It's based on the sense experience, but we can reason to higher truths. Although this is belittled as far as theology and philosophy is concerned. No, we need a test tube. Really, that's what all science is based on, is this rational knowledge. All mathematics is based on this syllogistic reasoning. So we have that. We have the experimental knowledge, we have the rational knowledge, and then we have the knowledge of faith. A free gift from God that we can accept or we can reject. With just purely rational knowledge, we can come to great understanding on a superficial level of God and the truths surrounding him. You see some of the great minds throughout history. Aristotle is a famous example, not a Catholic, needless to say, a pagan, and he was able to reason to so many true aspects about God. Just pure, brute reasoning. But with this reason, we are stunted as far as our knowledge of God. It's something like looking up at the cosmos, the planets and solar system with the naked eye. We can see what's up there, roughly. We have a general idea. But as one spiritual writer says, faith is that lens you place in front of the eye, that telescope that brings those heavenly bodies within our grasp, brings them right in front of us as if we could touch them. That's the virtue of faith. It's somewhat ironic when you're teaching children about the catechism. Oftentimes you'll say, why do we believe in this? And they'll say, because God said so, which is kind of a disarming answer because it is true. And as they grow up, they learn more and more how to use their reason, how to understand why this faith makes sense. They believe in it more strongly. And then they reach that level of these great theologians, St. Augustine, St. Thomas Aquinas, who have penetrated into such depth in the most minute details of theology. And why do they believe in these? Because God said so. Just like Christ said, we have to become like little children in our faith. So these greatest saints, they put their trust completely in God. Obviously, it is logical, it makes sense, but that's not why they believe. And so this is why it's emphasized today. This virtue, so fundamental in so many aspects of our faith, and now that we're starting along with the neophytes, some of us starting once again, working towards that goal of sanctification, it's given to us early on. As the Council of Trent says, faith is the foundation of all justification and all sanctification. And so we're given it at the very beginning. For those neophytes who are just little saplings in the faith. The virtue of faith is that root that penetrates the soil. The deeper the root, the more nourishment it provides for its growth. And the deeper the root, the stronger that reed is as it grows, becomes a full tree. The more can withstand those storms that the world sends it. This is why St. John says it's the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Because as it is said, if God is with us, then who can stand against us? It increases our confidence, our trust. And with these new neophytes developing these roots, growing in the spiritual life, they come to learn that even in those moments, we all learn this, even in those moments when we are tempted to worry, to give up hope, we can remember that it doesn't depend on us. It's the whole purpose of this season, showing the unity of the church in the sacrament of baptism. It doesn't rest on our shoulders. It rests on the wisdom of God. It's like that burden being lifted off our shoulders, all the anxiety and depression that threatens to come in is lifted away, because we realize it doesn't depend on us. It's not in our hands. It fortifies us for the fight ahead. Then there's another aspect that faith gives us. It'll lead us on this journey. It will help us accomplish our goal, and that is, it gives merit to all our actions. Because it is through the virtue of faith, through this lens, that we see God. And it puts everything in perspective. It gives everything a supernatural motive. We are no longer charitable to our neighbor merely for philanthropic reasons or to show how generous we are, to feel good inside. It's all done to unite us closer with Christ, because we see Christ in our neighbor. We always hear about humility being that foundation of all the virtues, but even humility would be nothing without faith. Would accomplish nothing, like a tinkling cymbal, as St. Paul says. This is a quote from a theologian regarding this topic, Abbot Marmion. He says, "The source of eternal life in us is a light, Lumen Christi. It is the light of the beatific vision through which we see God in heaven face to face. In that light we shall live by the very life of God. Here below, the source of our supernatural life is likewise a light, the light of faith, illumining the darkness, leading us to the altar." Faith is a participation in the knowledge of God, the knowledge he has for himself. It becomes a light which guides us in all our ways. And therefore, it must quicken, enliven, vivify all our supernatural activity. So this is why we're given this lesson, two lessons, both from St. John, the Epistle and Gospel. We're given these lessons to start us on our path, to guide us with this light of faith. And as St. John says, we're given this, these lessons, so that in believing we may have life in his name. May God bless you.